Thank you for joining us today with Newly Awakened Ministries.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, Lord, we just even thank you, Lord, right now, God, just for what you have for us tonight. God, we just even ask that you just start opening up our eyes. God, open up our ears so that we can see you and hear you rightly. God, we just thank you, God, that you have something good in store for us. God, I thank you, God, that you had already prepared something for us tonight. God, something that will change our hearts, change our minds, God, and just draw us closer to you. Father, I just thank you, oh Lord, for the dreams and the purposes and the destinies that you have in here. God, I thank you that you're unlocking things tonight. God, I thank you that you're breaking off things tonight. You're depositing things in our spirits tonight. God, I thank you, God, for an outpouring of your spirit on all flesh. God, I thank you that households will be changed. God, that the cities will be changed. God, Lord, I thank you, God, that your transformational power, God, is in the work in us. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. God, I thank you, God, for your guidance, for your love, and for your direction. We thank you for all that you're doing in our hearts tonight. Lord, in Jesus' name. Yeah. So how are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Whew. Yeah, I just want to say thank you, Grandpa Pastor Montoya, for inviting me to speak tonight. I am so honored to share God's word with you guys. Man, there's something just so heavy on my heart. You know, we came in a little bit earlier in here to pray, and the Lord, he was just saying something so heavy. And I mean, I was questioning if I should release it, but the Lord, he keeps putting my heart, like, say it. And so he was saying that, this isn't meant for everybody, but he's saying he was tired of imitation. He said that he's tired of some people acting like they have what he has for them and they don't. You know, he was saying he was tired of people trying to fake what he has for them. And the thing is, the Lord was saying he's going to make it evident for the people that are walking in the blessing and the people who've come in agreement with the curse. But he's wanting to say tonight that Jesus brings freedom from every curse that man has. That Jesus, he's wanting to bring deliverance and freedom in people tonight. Oh, so if anything, just be real with the Lord. So, you know, the first part of my message, I really don't know how to transition on from that. All I can say is that the Lord, he was just saying, be real. You know, be real. Right. And so, you know, the title of my message tonight is, what has the Lord given you? You know, what has the Lord given you? And so first, you know, I want to share a story from my life. And there's a point to it. This is when, you know, I was in ministry school in Alabama. You know, I was attending the Ramp School of Ministry. They had a rule during my first year. And thankfully, you know, this rule has now been totally done away with. But anyways, that rule was that you could not date anyone. I mean, you know, you guys, like, whenever we would go down there, the first year was you cannot date anybody. And if you were dating, break it off unless you were married. If you were married or about to get married, then they would let you do that. But, you know, I can say that my first year, consecrated to the Lord. Second year, I was like, you know, I'm allowed to date, but I'm here for a purpose. I'm here to get drawn closer to the Lord. So that's what I'm going to do. I just set aside and consecrated that whole other year. And I can tell you that first year, the second year, there was a lot of people that were thirsty. And when I mean they were thirsty, they were dehydrated from their soulmate. And so, and I have to say, during my third year, I needed a glass of water. I too became thirsty, you know, and I was eagerly desiring a romantic relationship with an amazing, powerful, beautiful, passionate, desirable woman of God. And so, you know, you can see here that I have an amazing woman, desirable, powerful, beautiful, passionate woman of God, April Pearl Fallis. And so, you know, she is my gorgeous wife. I'm so in love with her. I'm so thankful that God, you know, he let us come together. But I have to let you guys in on something. When I was there, April was not the first woman that I pursued. There was another girl that I really liked, and I was good friends with her, and I desperately just wanted to ask her out. But every time I would pray and I would say, Lord, you know, can I take her on a date? He would say no. And I was like, okay, well, you know, maybe it's just a timing issue. Maybe it's just something that's meant for later, and I'm just out of the timing of God. So, you know, a few months went by and I prayed, like, Lord, can I ask this girl out? And he said, no. I was like, okay. I was like, you know, still thinking in my mind, it just might not be the right time. I waited a few more months and I prayed, like, okay, God, can I ask her out on a date now? And the Lord said, no. And I was like, but God, why? And so, you know, at that moment, I was heartbroken. I was disappointed. But, you know, after a few months, I had really healed in my heart. And then one of my closest friends, April, and we were talking about our friendship, and during this time, like, you know, we were friends for like almost 3 years, and we actually had told each other that we had feelings for each other, and we had a decision that we could, you know, we could drop our friendship because it'd be awkward, or we could remain friends and just be friends, or we can take the next step and pursue a relationship with each other. And so, you know, we said, you know, we'll go and we'll pray about it and we'll come back later and we'll talk. Well, you know, I went home that night and I went into my room and I prayed. I was like, Lord, you know, may I take your daughter on a date? And he said, yes. I was like, yes. I was like, finally, Lord, after all this time, you are telling me yes. And guys, the point that I'm wanting to make is that sometimes you have to hear God say no over and over again so you can clearly hear his yes. And so I know I've been in about Clarksville for about 5 months or so. And you guys have heard my grandfather say over and over that me and April are in a transition. Because I want to tell you that we are still in a season of transition. We're trying to find where the Lord wants for us. But it's not out of a lack of opportunity. You know, we have been called up the last few months several times, from several different states, and they're like, hey, would you become a young adult or youth pastor or associates pastor, whatever? And we pray and we go seek and we're like, God, what do you want from us? And he says, no. And so right now I can tell you that right now, me and April, we're still searching, we're still placing, but right now the Lord has said no. And so guys, I want to tell you, if you're in a season right now where you keep hearing no, I want you to get ready to celebrate for when God says yes. I want to tell you that if you are in the will of God and you are praying and you are pursuing and you have a word and a promise from him, just prepare to celebrate for when he says yes. And so I want to get into a part of scripture. You know, the Lord was really been speaking to me out of this psalm the last maybe 7-8 months. But it is Psalms chapter 77. We're going to be out of the New American Standard Bible. We're going to start from verse 1. And so, you know, it says it's a psalm of Asaph. And he says, my voice rises to God, and I will cry aloud. My voice rises to God, and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. In the night, my hand was stretched out without weariness. My soul refused to be comforted. When I remember God, then I am disturbed. I sigh, then my spirit grows faint. You have held my eyelids open so that I am troubled and cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of long ago. I will remember my song in the night. I will meditate with my heart, and my spirit ponders. Will the Lord reject forever? And will he never be favorable again? Has his loving kindness ceased forever? And has his promise come to an end forever? Has the Lord God forgotten to be gracious? Or has his anger withdrawn his compassion? And then I said, is it my grief that the right hand of God has changed? But get this, we're in verse 11. He says something that is so important. He says, I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate on your work and your muse and your deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is like our God? You are the God who works wonders, and you have made known your strength among people. You have, by your power, redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. The waters, you, O God, the waters saw you. They were anguished, and the depths were also trembled. The clouds poured out water, and the skies gave forth sound, and your arrows flashed here and there. And your thunder, whoo, and the sound of your thunder was in a whirlwind. It's like, and the lightnings lit up the world, and the earth trembled and shook. Your ways, whoo, your way was in the sea, and your ways, whoo, and your path in the mighty waters. Your footprints may not be known. You lead your people by the flock of Moses and of Aaron. And so that might sound a little confusing, but this is why we're diving into it. You know, it says, we read here that this man, he was really distraught, that this man was in deep despair. And so we have the first 10 out of the 20 verses talking about his troubles, and the last 10 verses talking about how he remembers God. And so that is what I was trying to say in verse 11. It is so vital. It's so important for our faith. He says, I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders. It's one of the hardest and the darkest times of his life. He changed his mindset from the thoughts of defeat, and he began to praise. Amen. It's like, and I know that there's some people that are hearing this message that have been going through life, and it feels heavy. It's like, and it's hard, but God is wanting to remind you, do not give up. Remember that the Lord is good. Remember all that he has done for you. Remember the word and the dream that he's placed on the inside of you. Get out the thoughts of despair and turn to the testimony of Jesus and give him praise in your mind. Amen. That's it. I hope I didn't go through that too fast, but the main point of that text is that even though if you have thoughts of despair, quickly turn and have thoughts of praise. Get your mindset out of a place that is hard, that is locked up in bondage, and say, Jesus, I'm going to walk into your freedom. And so now there is this next portion of the message, and that's why I even titled it, Lord, what has the Lord given you? And so we are going to be going to Genesis 25, verse 29, through 34. Okay. All right, I'm giving everybody a second. All right, Genesis chapter 25, verse 29 through 34. It says, when Jacob had cooked stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was famished. And Esau said to Jacob, please let me have a swallow of that red stuff there, for I am famished. Therefore, his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright. Then Esau said, behold, I am about to die. So what use then is this birthright to me? And Jacob said, first swear it to me. And so Esau swore his birthright to Jacob, and he sold his birthright. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew. And he ate and drank, and he arose and went on his way, and thus Esau despised his birthright. So when I read this, you know, I have a couple of questions. But first, I was wondering, what was Esau's birthright that his younger brother Jacob so wanted so badly? And so, you know, we have to know that the specifics of this birthright was attached to a position and an inheritance from the father. You know, and that his prize, then the prize inheritance was a blessing from their father Isaac, is like, and that was a blessing directly from the Lord. And so we can actually find this blessing in Genesis chapter 27, verses 28 and 29. And we can know just a little bit of backstory that Isaac would never really agree to actually, you know, to validate the selling of his birthright. You know, Isaac, he would never actually say, okay, for this bowl of soup, yeah, right, I'm not doing that. And so what Jacob had to do, Jacob listened to his mother, and they actually disguised, you know, the bowl. They disguised his arms and his face and his neck to make him feel like he was Esau, and he made, and they deceived Isaac to give Jacob his blessing, to give the blessing from the Lord. And so this is what the birthright was. It says in verse 28, now may God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth, an abundance of grain and of new wine. That's significant. You know, may people serve you and nations bow down to you and be master over your brothers or of your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you. And so we know that after Jacob, he receives this blessing. Esau, he says something. He says, Esau says that Jacob took his birthright and his blessing. He's like, he was not recognizing that the blessing was the inheritance of his birthright. You know, Esau thought he was trading in one thing, something so small, but he was actually giving up everything that his father intended for him. And so, you know, Esau did not realize that the bowl of stew that he bought with his birthright would cost him everything the father wanted to give him. You see, Esau, he was literally starving. He was at the breaking point of life and of death. And when he was faced with the decision to keep what God had given him or trade it in for something that would feed his earthly body, he chose to sell the promise and the anointing God had in store for him. He chose to entertain the things of this world instead of actually giving, like keeping what is God's and trusting that God was going to sustain his life. You know, something that may sound desirable in the moment to your flesh, it can cost you, it's like some things, I'm not saying everything, but there are things in this world that sound desirable in the moment to our earthly body. But if we exchange these and if we receive these things, it can cost us a blessing that the Father wants to give us. And so I'm asking you, what are you going to decide? Are you going to sell your inheritance, or are you going to walk in the purpose and dream that God has for your life? You know, it's almost in the everyday. It's in the everyday lifestyle. It's in the everyday habits. It's going to be, hey, are we going to spend our time devoted in prayer? Are we going to spend our time devoted in the word? Are we going to actually make sure we do the things that we know to be right and not to sin? Are we going to follow the obedience of the Holy Spirit, or are we going to live in disobedience unto God? Yeah. Are we going to keep our eyes pure? Are we going to keep our mind pure? Are we going to keep our heart pure? Are we going to make sure that we keep, you know, our relationships well? Are we going to be kind to our spouse, like my grandfather was speaking about this morning? There are so many things there are so many things that are in this world that we know if we do them, we are giving up what God has in store for us. And so now, for the next portion of scripture, we're going to go to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 17 through 22. And I promise you guys, it's all connected. It says, at verse 17, it says, as he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And the man said to Jesus, Teacher, I have kept all of these things from my youth up. And looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him. And he said to him, One thing you lack. Go and sell all that you possess and give to the poor, that you will have a treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But at these words, this man was saddened. He was heartbroken. You know, and he went away grieving, for this man, he owned much property. You know, we can look at this account, we can look at this story, we can look at this true account that this man encounters Jesus with, and he tells him, sell what you have and come follow me. You know, Jesus was asking this man to give up the life he had in order to walk in the purpose and anointing God desired for him. You know, this man at this moment walks away. And I can say he said with his actions, the cost to following you, Jesus, is way too much. You know, can we be like that sometimes? When God asks you to surrender something to him, it might be a situation, it might be a few people, it might be a job, whatever it is. And we can say to Jesus, no, that's too much. Why are you asking me to give up the things that I love? You know, I can tell you that through everything it cost, Jesus is worth it. You know, for me, there's a couple of testimonies just from this. When I say testimonies, I just mean personal accounts for me. You know, I remember when I had several academic scholarships to go to different schools, but the Lord told me to give up my scholarships and go to ministry school, and I obeyed him. And so I knew what the Lord, he asked me to lay down. He's going to pick it back up. And then there's also several acts of obedience he asked you to do every day or for a season. You know, sometimes it was to drop friends because they were going in a wrong direction. Or it was jobs that God asked me to lay down. And I'm telling you, like losing tens of thousands of dollars, like almost $30,000 to go and do a job that God told me to do. And so I was like, okay, Lord. And then ultimately, there are things that the Lord did when he allowed my dream job to be even stripped away from me. And afterwards, he even said, he was checking my heart. And he would say, man, how's our connection? He would say, how's our connection? It's like, was your heart in it for them or was it still connected to me? Through the hardships, was it going to be connected to everything else this world can provide? Or is it going to be seeking my heart? Is it going to be seeking my face? Is it going to be dwelling on my word? Is it going to be carrying my presence? Is it going to be obeying my voice? You know, towards the end of it, I can tell you, following Jesus, it's going to cost you everything, but he is worthy. Jesus is worthy. He is worthy of all of our life. Every act of obedience, everything that we have to lay down, every door that we have to walk through, every season of life that we go through, we have to keep in our minds that Jesus is good and he is worthy. And so like I was saying, Jesus, he knows how to pull on our heartstrings to see how far we will go to follow him. You know, I loved reading in this book. It's called Keep Your Love On by Danny Silk. He's talking about connections and how we are to be connected with everybody else. But he says, you know, Jesus, he tests our connection. And he was saying that after, Jesus broke bread and the multitudes were fed and they ate of the bread and they ate of the fish, they came up after him. And there was thousands on thousands to a couple hundred. And when they found him, he said, you know, those that want to follow me, you know, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. Come pick up your cross and follow me. And after that, many more left to where there was only a handful. He was testing the connection of their hearts. He was testing the heartstrings of the people, saying, how far will you go to follow me? Man, I even remember, I'm trying to remember who said it, but he said, the closer you go to the cross, fewer the crowd is.
That's true.
And so, my main and last passage for the night, I'm going to be going into Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. I'm going to give everyone a second to get there. Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, then became hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But Jesus answered to him, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city, and that had him stand on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Then Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and of their glory. And he said to them, Satan said to Jesus, all of these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall not worship. He's like, sorry, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him and him alone. And then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to Jesus. So, you know, I would like to point out a few things. You know, there are three temptations Jesus goes through. You know, first, Satan is asking Jesus to turn the stones into bread while Jesus was hungry. You know, it's important, while Jesus was hungry, he came and started tempting him. You know, it was when Jesus was at his weakest moment in his body. You know, his flesh was so weak. You know, and Satan tempts him to eat something that is not meant to be eaten. Does that kind of sound familiar? You know, we have, even with Adam and Eve in the garden, you know, that Satan tempted, you know, Eve to eat what God said was not meant to be eaten. Then we have Esau, that while his flesh was weak, he traded in the calling God originally intended for him. And so we can see there that Satan was asking Jesus to step away from the life his father was sustaining with him. Because we know that he is the sustainer of life. And he even said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He was living, you know, by the spirit of his father, by the word of his father. And then it says, with Jesus, you know, when Satan was asking him to throw himself off the temple to have angels come and catch him, Satan was asking Jesus to test his father and misuse the authority his father had given him. Then Satan tells Jesus that he can rule the whole world if he just bows to him. Satan was asking Jesus to surrender the authority his father had given him. So let me just kind of recap what had happened. Satan was asking Jesus to step away from the life his father was sustaining him with. Then he was asking him to misuse the authority and to test the Lord, to test his father. And then he was asking him to surrender the authority that his father had given him. And honestly, I believe that's what he was trying to do the whole time. I believe that once he ate the thing that was not meant to be eaten, I believe that it would have already stripped him away. But you know, Jesus, he's God. But he was tempting him in this moment. And he was asking him to surrender his authority from the very get-go. And it was disguised differently. Kind of like with Esau. He said, give me your birthright. So he gave him his birthright, but he didn't realize it was going to cost him his blessing. You know, let's just say Satan was trying to have Jesus eat something that was not meant to be eaten. It was going to cost, he was trying to get him to give up his authority. Right. To walk, you know, fully, you know, with his spirit. You know, so we have to know, but how does Jesus respond to this temptation? He says, you shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then he says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And at the end, he says, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Jesus responds with scripture. He responds with the word. You know, and what has God given us? He's given us his word. And so the times when Jesus gave up everything to be in the wilderness in the most difficult circumstances, you know, when his flesh was weak, Jesus did not trade what his father had given him. And he was actually giving us an example, because we had not had it before, on how to keep what God has for us instead of giving it up for the things of the world. Instead of giving up into the temptations of the lust and sin. Jesus was showing us how to walk in authority and how to walk and live in the purpose our Heavenly Father desires for us. And so, what has the Lord given you? Let me tell you, he's given you everything that is in Jesus. And so now we have to say, what is in Jesus? Jesus, he has the cross and he has the resurrection. He took upon our sin and then he defeated the sin. He is our mediator between us and God. He is our redeemer. He is our healer. He is the one that can free us. He is the one that delivers us. He's the one that redeems us. Yes. He is the Prince of Peace. You know, he is the Lion. He is the Lion of Judah. But he's also the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world.
That's
right. So what do we have? That's what I'm trying to say again. What has the Lord given you? He's given you everything in Jesus. And he's asking you, do not trade it away.
No.
He's pleading with you, do not give away everything that I paid for.
Right.
You know, the Father God, he's saying, man, I'm giving you everything that I had, everything that I desired. Do not give it away so easily. Do not give it up for something that is so simple. What I've given you, it will cost you your life, but give it. What I've given you, it is worth it. And so honestly, that's what I got for you guys tonight. And so this is where we're going to go into our altar call. And I'm asking you guys all to stand real quick. If you are in here tonight and you feel like, man, I've traded in some things that I know, I've traded in some things for the world that God has given me. That you have given away things that you know God has destined for you, and you know you've given it to the world. I want to let you know that Jesus, he came to redeem and to restore. He wants to get his children back. He wants to get his things back, and he wants to get the things that belong to you back. Man, I'm going to take us back on a flashback real quick. You guys remember that old song? I remember hearing it up in children's church and in youth. I loved it. It's like, you know, I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. You know, that's what Jesus came to do, and he showed you how to do it.
Right.
Man.
That's right,
son. So this is what I'm asking you. If you are in here tonight and you're like, man, I want to get back some of the things I know that the enemy has taken from me. Yeah, well, you guys just want to raise your hands real quick. If you want prayer, say, man, I want to get the things that I know God has for me tonight. All right. And so I'm going to ask you guys to do this. Can you guys close your eyes real quick? And if you're saying, man, I want to know this Jesus, the one that came and died for me, the one that came and rose for me, the one that died on his death on the cross, but the one that's living through his resurrection, the one that ran out of the grave so he can meet up with me. I want to ask you, if you want to say, I want to know this Jesus, can you raise your hand? Yes? All right. Now, I also believe that Jesus, he is our healer. He is our redeemer. And I'm asking if you have pain in your body, and if there's something that's going on, and you're like, I want Jesus to touch me tonight. I want Jesus to make me whole. I want Jesus to heal me. Will you raise your hand real quick? Yes. Yeah, yeah. All right, so what I'm going to do, if you raise your hand for anything for here tonight, I want you guys to come down to this altar, and I want us to pray for you. So as you guys come, I just want to pray. Father, I just thank you for tonight. God, I thank you for what you've purposed on the inside of us. I thank you for your healing. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your deliverance. I thank you for your freedom. I thank you for your peace. I thank you for that you restore us, that you restore our soul, you restore our spirit. God, I thank you that you are the giver of life and the sustainer of life. God, I thank you that your word says, by your stripes, we are healed. We are made whole. So God, we thank you tonight that your healing power is here. God, I thank you that if you are seeking freedom from torment, God is here. He is your freedom. He is your deliverer. And we just want to invite you to come down tonight. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this week's Fuel the Flame from Newly Awakened Ministries. You can follow Newly Awakened Ministries on Facebook and Instagram. You can also connect with us through newlyawakenedministries.com.